Welcome to Intrinsically Motivated, where we're having conversations with experts in the field of addiction, recovery, and those who've been affected by it as we seek to mobilize the church to replace addiction and mental health challenges with flourishing. Welcome back to part two of our conversation with Craig Forrester from Recovery Resources. Let's get back into part two of our conversation with Craig.
You may remember this a couple of years ago in Johnson City. If you go back and I know this dude, like know him, so like I'm not gonna throw his name out there, but he killed his grandpa, high as boat gas on methamphetamine, and he was currently at that present time was under the treatment of the local MAT clinic. And so it's like, you know, they want to holler all this stuff about we're reducing harm and, you know, people don't overdose on Suboxone. But, you know, you've got the kissing cousins of the meth epidemic. And then what level of treatment, because that's what they want to call it, medically assisted treatment. And it's like, what kind of treatment cosigns methamphetamine use to the point of psychosis, to the point that you kill your grandpa? Yeah, like no one likes those stories,
right?
But you know, that's factual. I would challenge anyone to tell me that's not the truth,
right? So do you think that's an outlier, or do you think that's just an example of what's real?
No, that's absolutely not an outlier. No, I'm not saying that the MAT clinic is responsible
right.
for that murder, but I am saying when you present yourself as a form of treatment, like you were talking about, like to their family, to their mom, to the wife, to the dad, to the girl, you know, the boyfriend, girlfriend, like when you present yourself as that, there's a level of accountability that should be had there.
The information that's being presented isn't the full story. It's like
anything contrary to what they want, like is not told.
Right.
So I've been clean almost 9.5 years now. And I've ran groups in the treatment center at least monthly since I got clean. Like there's not been one in the local treatment center in Johnson City, grant-based beds, bottom of the barrel. They don't have insurance. And so I've seen every group that's come in there in the last 9.5 years. And I always ask, like, what are we in here for? Like, who's what drugs are we doing? Rah, 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 rah. And so I'll be like, show of hands, who's a pure alcoholic? And you'll get a handful, like the guys that are, just drinkers, hardcore drinkers. Then how many of y'all are here for meth? And these days, and this has went up in the last 9 years, is, I mean, 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 is on methamphetamine. And then you say, who in here is on fentanyl or heroin or opiates? And, you know, a good smattering of the hands go, who in here is on Subutex or Suboxone? And it is right there, 80 to 90%. In our local treatment center, of the people that you, like, of our the poor community that does not have insurance in our region, which is a huge population. And, you know, it's the Northeast Tennessee cocktail, a little bit of Subutex, a little bit of meth, and whatever else they're gonna write. And so I've brought this up to these other people, and I'm like, if you don't believe me, because like I'm not a data dude. Like I'm a get my hands dirty. I'm like, you know, we're on the streets top dude. Like I'm not doing a study.
Right.
And so they're like, show me the facts on this. I'm like, how about you get off your lazy ass and go volunteer an hour at the rehab, and then you can show yourself the facts. How about coming and running a group in my house, and you ask the guys what they're in there for? And I do know the numbers on this. Over 75% of our guys, primary or secondary drug of abuse is buprenorphine. And then they're like, well, why don't you open an MAT house? I'm like, why don't you open an MAT house? Like, y'all are the ones making all the money off of it. Like, open your own house. I'll break out the pom-poms. Like, I'll cheer you on.
Mindset-wise, mm-hmm. when the guys are coming into your house,
yeah,
and you're saying 75, 80% of them mm-hmm. are on buprenorphine.
We don't take them on buprenorphine.
Or that's their primary use.
Primary, secondary.
Do they think of that as a drug use, or do they think of that as treatment when they come in?
Like, my guys think of it as drug use because they know. Like because the lifestyle is there. Like you, like I would be really interested because I'm not the most anti-MAT person. I'm sure like off the last 20 minutes, everybody's like, he just hates it.
And right.
Like, I would love to see what would happen. Like they've got like the Sublocade shot where it's an injectable once a month, rah, 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 rah. And I mean, it's a Schedule III narcotic as well. But you take away the diversion of pills. So I'm not going to be in the trap house trading this pill for that pill. I don't have to take off weekly to go see the doctor and give them, you know, whatever every week. So once a month, like a normal human, I go for my doctor, a doctor's visit. They give me the shot and then I go about my life. I would love to see how successful that is. You know, I got my own biases and judgments on what I think, but you know, I would love to see a study on that. You know, I don't know that they figured out a way to make enough money off of that yet, so they probably haven't done that yet.
Right.
You know, because those shots are expensive. And what is it? I think they're $1,200, $1,500 a month, something like that for the shots. And where it's a narcotic, like it has to be assigned to a person. Where like the Vivitrol shots, which is like the opiate blocker, and we take in. And here's why we're not anti-MAT, like. We allow people to be on the Vivitrol. It's just it's a non-narcotic and it's just an opiate blocker. Like, but with the Sublocade, it's $1,200 to $1,500. And if you don't, where it's a prescribed drug, if you don't show up for it, they have to trash it. Where the Vivitrol, they can just give it to the next person.
Right.
Give it to the next person. So, you know, I would be interested to see that. I'm not anti-MAT. Like if you're going for a 28-day stay in a rehab facility and you're coming off of fentanyl or heroin or, you know, hardcore opiates, like let's prescribe that to
you. That short term, keep you alive while you're doing this, the really intense part right here.
And we're going to, because like you shouldn't have, like we're not gluttons for punishment. Like I'm not like, you need to suffer because you got hooked on drugs like I did. Give them a quick 1 to 2 week taper and so that they're leaving an inpatient treatment facility not physically addicted to a narcotic, because the absolute worst to come off of heroin feels the worst. Like days 2, 3, 4 of a heroin withdrawal are about the worst feeling you can feel. Benzos and alcohol, it messes with your mind more, like your mental capacities. You know, that's super sketchy. But Suboxone or methadone, all of the MAT drugs where they got such a half-life, like your withdrawals last for 28 days, 35 days. Day 5 of a heroin withdrawal, it's like, I'm starting to feel better. Day 5 of a Suboxone withdrawal, it's like, I'm just getting going. Like,
right.
Yeah. You know, no one wants to.
Why it's easy to keep people on that, because they don't want. Because the whole, if the idea is we're trying to keep them from feeling whatever that pain is, then we keep numbing that pain.
And then, like, and I think about what it, like, to go back to the spiritual aspect of like what it does to me spiritually, where my body is still dependent, my mind and my body and my spirit, all of these things are interlinked, are still dependent upon a narcotic. And then I wonder why I can't get excited about life. I wonder why I don't chase my dreams and my passions. I wonder why I can't really connect with other humans. I wonder why I can't feel sorrow for someone I love when they're going through a tragedy. I wonder why I can't feel elation when someone in my life is just, you know, blowing the roof off. Well, it's because I'm dumbed down from a narcotic.
Because you said earlier, you were talking about, like, I'm empty, and you're trying to fill that up with something else, and that still isn't the thing. Even if you're replacing it with treatment, quote-unquote, yeah. Even if you're replacing it with medication in a way that is going to, all these things we've already said, reduce harm, you know, help keep you, get you to the success point of continuing to live. But that's not it. You're saying that might be filling some small part of you with a thing that keeps you from feeling a particular pain, but there's still so much more emptiness that you're now not able to fill because of that other thing. It's basically preventing you from really finding that whole version of yourself.
And so I shout out to the Sullivan County Anti-Drug Coalition. They were the first place that ever offered me a job that I took in recovery. I've had a lot of places offer me jobs before then, but that Alice McCaffrey was the first person that made me feel comfortable in taking a job in recovery. And I have this reputation of being a voice against MAT, my experience will not let me co-sign their nonsense for however much money. So she asked me, because she knew the reputation, I would imagine, when she interviewed me, she said, tell me what your thoughts are on MAT for a client that comes from an overdose in Sullivan County. And I believe this wholeheartedly. It's the first thing we should offer. The first thing that we should offer, use MAT. Because if that works for you, then you probably don't have a soul sickness drug addiction like I've got, if it works. What I know is that if you've got it like I got it, then... And here's the other thing is, like, the rooms of recovery, we've got all kinds of people that don't need to be there. Like, the judge sent them, or, you know, the probation office sent them, or their doctor sent them. And it's like, drugs and alcohol hasn't ruined your life. Like, you know, a 12-step program, like... And, like, the literature's pretty clear on this, too. Like, you know, like, we're for the hope, like, you know, we're hopeless alcoholics, hopeless drug addicts. And so, like, if a medicine's going to work for you, that's fantastic. Like, go let it work for you. And then the MAT, and this is another thing I love about them, is, like, they're talking about, like, the 12-step world. They're like, you all don't make them feel welcome. Like, you don't, like, make the patients of the clinics feel welcome when they come to the 12-step meetings. And it's like, you know. Like, we don't beat them up or kick them out or anything like that. But, like, the Alcoholics Anonymous literature is written in 1937, published in 1939. And before you get to page one, like, on the Roman numerals, it says the only relief that we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And then if you look at the Narcotics Anonymous literature, it's very clear on that. Like, you know, like...
We're just speaking... You're speaking two different languages.
And so it's like, you're sending people... on narcotics into 12-step fellowship that's been this way for close to 100 years now, and you're like, well, you need to change your literature. It's like, no, you need to get off your lazy ass and start your own fellowship. If you care that much about the people that you're serving, pick up the torch and go do something for them. I cared enough about the people that I love that we started a housing program, that we help with anything and everything, like treatment referrals. Like, I cared enough, and I did that. I don't have a college degree. I'm some idiot from Kingsport. You know, like, I'm just a dude with a heart.
Right.
That has other people around me that have hearts. So it's like, if y'all want to do that stuff, then, like, you know, if you want to open up MAT houses, like, cool, you call me. I'll tell you all of the ins and outs on how to do housing. You want to learn how to start a 12-step meeting for people on MAT medicine. Cool, call me, I'll help you do that. But, like, to ask us to be the ones to do the heavy lifting, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so...
Sorry.
No, you're good. No, tell me about... Because you kind of have given me some of the bits and pieces. What all kinds of things do you do for your guys that are in your housing?
Oh, my gosh, man. You wouldn't believe it.
Because your goal is trying to help them, like, build a life, right?
So you would not believe it if I told you this. And we do a poor job of, like, letting the world know what we do.
Tell them right now, because all double digits of our subscribers would know.
Yeah, they'll love
we're gonna
it.
Have so many by the time this one comes out.
Listen, you're big in Norway, I'm sure.
That's it.
I'm gonna do my best to encompass everything that we do.
This is your elevator pitch.
It changes all the time. So we are, I'm going to start with, we're TDOC approved housing, meaning that if you are a state prisoner anywhere in the state of Tennessee and you make parole, you can parole. We are an acceptable home plan. You're able to, so if you're sitting in prison in Memphis and you've got nowhere to go when you get out, you know, everybody's done with you, or you've got no one, you have a home plan that you can come to. Meaning that, you know, we're structured, we're safe, we've got cameras in all of our homes. You know, I test for more stuff than the probation and parole test for. Like, we test for the gas station dope, I test for the kratom, I test for the gabapentin. Like, we offer you a safe, stable, sober house. If you are homeless today and you've got nothing and you apply to come into our house. And I'm going to knock Knoxville for a second, because they've got 10 million sober living programs. And if you don't have $350, there's, I think, one program that'll take you. We have never turned down anyone for money. And I've never kicked anyone out for money. You come to me without a dime. You come with nothing but the clothes on your back. When you show up to my house, you've got a bed to sleep in. You've got clean sheets. You've got a pillow. You've got all of the hygiene supplies that you need. Toothpaste, toothbrush, toilet paper, shower, anything that you need, we've got you. We've got a clothes closet that you can come and get anything that you need out of there. If you get a job and you say, hey, Craig, I need a pair of steel toes for this job, we go do that. You get to us and you don't have a phone or a phone card, we get you a phone or a phone card. You don't know how to fill out a resume, we help you with that. You need to get help signed up on food stamps, we help with that. You need help with transportation to get to the parole office, we help with that. You need general peer support, we help with that. I'll go all the way out there. We've started buying cars, little beater cars. I know people that sell little beater cars, you know, around 2,000 bucks. We've started buying those cars and letting our guys pay us what we have in them over time, so they don't get caught in the stupid predatory lending and they're able to just pay us for what we've got in it. Like life-changing stuff. You know, there's other programs that they're real big on, like they keep their dudes in a silo and, they don't get them involved in the community. We're as community oriented as possible. We'll do the Christmas parades. We'll do that. Like, we'll have our office is on Center Street in Kingsport. Like, we're not trying to hide away.
Right.
Like, we're on Front Street. So when they do the trick or treating downtown, we've got our guys handing out candy to the kids in the community. Last year we took 75 people up to the Healing Appalachia Festival in West Virginia. We worked the ETSU games. We worked the local concerts. And like, I don't make my dudes do any of that. Like,
here's some things that you can do.
Yeah. If you want to be involved, cool. Come on. If you don't want to do it, cool. Don't come on. The last Friday of every month, we host a celebration over at Summit Leadership where, like, we're talking about how much clean time you've got. Like, if you're celebrating a year in the month of August, like, cool. We feed them. We play some music. And, like, it's so cool because, like, the way we'll start it is, like, I'll get up there and I'll say, I want to brag on such and such for what he's done this month. And I heap the praises on that dude. And then that dude comes up there, and instead of talking about the stuff he's done, he heaps the praises on the next man. And then the next man. And then the next man. And so it's building that thing of where it's not about me. It's about how do I make it easier on the next guy coming up behind me. Man, if my guys come to me, like, one of our guys hosted I'm going to super brag on him for a minute. Shout out Dustin Lilac. He's graduated from us. He's working at Carter County Drug Prevention. But he did a flag football tournament to help raise money for parents who are currently in rehab, like when they were for Christmas, so that they could get their kids Christmas presents. It's all him. Like, he did that. Another one of my dudes did a hot dogs and haircuts thing. It was all him, not Recovery Resources. This is my dudes. And so for the homeless people down in Kingsport, like, they do all
of goes
stuff.
Back to what you said at the beginning, do things for somebody else, and that's going to help you stay in it.
And so, like, I've got guys that started their own businesses. I've got guys that are working, making way more money than I make, you know, like, then they're absolutely killing it. Custody of their sole custody of their kids. Like, you know, the absolute coolest stuff.
Right.
So, you know, we,
and how long are most of these guys in your program? Does it vary?
It varies. So, you know, like, we were very rigid when we wrote the program. Like, we're like, it's going to be this way and we're going to, you know, and what we realized is, like, you know, you make plans, God laughs. And so we had this idea that, like, you didn't need to stay in our program longer than 18 months. And then you get somebody that stayed there for 18 months and you realize, like,
they need to be here.
Yeah, they need to be here. And what am I going to do? Be like, hey, your time's up, bud. Like, I know you got nowhere to go.
But time to start over.
Yeah, let me kick you out on the street. So, like, we quickly changed that one. I'd say average stay is about 6 months, between the 4 and 6 month range. I'll tell you what my eyes have told me is that if we have somebody for 9 to 18 months and they're sponsoring other men in a 12-step program, those are the dudes that stay clean.
Right.
Like
that time in that community.
Mm-hmm. And the service to others.
Right.
If you're with us for over 9 months and you are an active participant in your recovery and someone else's recovery, your chances are way higher than if they were giving you 16 milligrams of Suboxone a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's really cool, and I'm really excited because, I mean, we've talked a little bit before, mm-hmm. but like just getting to hear your heart behind all of this and really getting to kind of see this kind of complete picture, I'm even more excited because we're going to be working together. Uplift and Recovery Resources are working together.
Dude, I can't tell you how excited I am because like y'all are going to be this, providing a whole lot.
That we're going to be really busy and that's going to be really cool because starting in July of this year, we're written into the same grant to help provide transportation for a bunch of your guys so that they can get higher education,
like life-changing stuff. And like without y'all's help and without the help of the First Tennessee Development District, without the help of TCAT, like it's really cool because it's a whole lot of places coming together and we're like, okay, we can help in this arena. And then Uplift's like, well, we can help in this arena. TCAT's like, we can help in this arena. FTD.
And we're all filling in all these little holes and making kind of that complete life that changes. So it's the Tennessee Opioid Abatement Council's funding that's kind of helping us partner with First Tennessee Development District, TCAT, you guys, all of us. And so for you're obviously providing the housing, and we're going to try to fill that gap in with the transportation, help get these guys from the places that they're living to the places they need to be. And from our perspective, we think that should be the church. We think the church is a completely untapped resource in doing that. So we're trying
You're not going to get me to disagree. Right. I think the church could step up.
So we're trying to motivate the church to help fill that gap. I mean, we're going to make sure it happens. We're going to get them from one place to another, but we really do think, and we're working all the time. And I, and hopefully as people, especially people in the church that I say, I send this very specifically to so that they make sure to listen to it. We're trying to motivate the church, but also equip the church to know what they're getting themselves into. But really, we have this perfect opportunity for the church to just step in and say, these guys are ready to get higher education. Like, this is life-changing things. If we can just get these guys where they need to go, and it's ready, it's right there, it's ripe for the taking, we should do it.
So your mom said something to me the other day that she called my organization Faith Adjacent. And no one had ever done that. And when she said that, I was like, I love that. Because we're not a faith, like we are not a faith-based program. We're a heavily 12-step based housing program. Now the 12 steps, if anyone is ever familiar with the 12 steps, the whole thing is to get you to have a relationship with God so that you care about someone else. But we're not a Christian organization. And, you know, I've caught some flack for that. We probably missed out on a whole lot of funding for that. And, you know, people love to rally around that stuff. But like what they don't know is that a whole lot of my guys, more than half, come in and they feel alienated from the church. They've got religious trauma. And so to tell them, like, you've got to believe in Jesus and you've got to do things this way and you've got to do things that way, like, they're going to shut down and not hear a word. Now, what I've learned in my recovery journey is that I was so wrong about a whole lot of my ideas about organized religion, specifically Christianity. And what I hope happens from this is that our guys will get to human. Just be a human with a member of a church, because I know how valuable that is to have someone, a good, godly person in your life that you can count on and that you can also be there for. So like to truly build a bond and a relationship so that when they leave our program, hopefully with a diploma from TCAT, that they can say, I had one idea of how the church world operated, and because of this person, I realized how wrong I was and how much that enriched my life because I built a relationship with them. And we've attempted to get the church involved, and we've been in housing for 3 years and some change, and we've had three congregations that come to my mind that have really rallied around my dudes. And I've had so many that have been rub our little heads and act like you dumb little junkies, like we're not trying to help you, or that, you know, they don't want to get their hands dirty. And maybe they read a different Bible than the one I've read, you know, but, you know, I think God calls us to serve and not to just serve in a clean way.
Yeah. Right? One of the things that we talk about a lot in all of our trainings is that we're supposed to be for other people, which is a lot of what you've been saying. And we also go ahead and say, recognize it's not squeaky clean. It's not easy. It's not hard. It's going to be messy and all of those things. And so, I mean, I think just to hear a lot of your story, like it's been messy.
Still is.
It's still going to be, but just to kind of see how that continues to progress and move forward. If you gave up just when it was, you know, this is as good as it's ever going to get, then that was as good as it was ever going to get. But you kept going, even though it was going to be messy to get to that point. And I think that's one of the things that we're hoping to kind of help motivate the church to realize that there is hope for people that seem so hopeless, and that it's not easy, but this is such a simple way to get involved in a way that can be super impactful, not just for them, but for the church too, because the church is going to learn just how valuable this kind of work is and these guys are. And I think that's one of the things I'm also really excited to see happen.
So to go back to when we were talking about harm reduction, and I've got my club out over here on the MAT clinics, but like if we're talking outcomes again, like the only chance that we have of truly reducing the harm and like reducing how many people are affected by the drug epidemic, how many people are going to jail, like it's not going to come from recovery resources doing housing. Like we need the help. Like we need the help, and we're never going to get there. And we're never going to get there without the faith-based community.
Yeah. How many churches do we have just in the Tri-Cities alone? I can't remember what that number is.
It's about double how many Dollar Generals we got.
Right. And there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. So it's like, even if we just had one small group from every church that got it and was willing to help one person, that's it.
But, and you know, like, I think of the grant that we're on, like, so Uplift, faith-based agency, like y'all are boots on the ground church folk. And then like, I think of like the First Tennessee Development District, like, you know, they are like in my eyes, whether they see it or not, like those are the big wigs. Like y'all have got like the political power, y'all know everyone. And like, they're on board. Like, and I've worked with them on several things. Like they're awesome to work with.
Right. That's why we're partnering with them. Obviously we're excited to work with them.
And then TCAT, you've got the education piece that comes in. Like, and so in this model, it's super small, but if we're able to expand on that.
If we can show just how effective it is, this is it.
And then you reduce the harm, you reduce the overdose.
And we actually start seeing all those numbers do the things that you want to see them do.
Yeah, and we don't even have to charge you $100 a week for a prescription.
It's crazy how that works.
It's crazy how that works.
This has been amazing. This has been great. Thank you so much. Your story, I'm going to like sit here and think about this for a long time, but I'm just super encouraged just to see what all you've gone through and how all of those things kind of seem to have intentionally taught you the things that you've learned now so that you can do really impactful things now and into the future. And I'm so glad we get to work together.
I am too. Thank you for having me on. Shameless plug. We're doing a music festival September 27th, 28th. And Elizabethton, Tennessee, thriving.
September 27th, 28th in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Yeah. 2024 for all of our listeners in 2030 when they find it.
Well, listen, come out on the 27th, 28th, and 2030 and somebody will be there.
Surely something will be going on too. Awesome. Thanks.
Next time on Intrinsically Motivated.
There is hundreds of thousands of good people around. It's just that we have to step out of our comfort zone. We have to reach out and we have to find those folks. And that's our responsibility.
Intrinsically Motivated is an Uplift Appalachia podcast. Uplift Appalachia seeks to replace addiction and mental health challenges with flourishing. And we believe that an intrinsically motivated church is the answer. To learn more, visit upliftappalachia.org.